All right, welcome to Ed Show number 82. We have a bunch of news for you today, a lot around Windows Azure. Start off, we have the general availability release of Windows Azure Backup Service. This is a great service if you want to do online backup and recovery of your files. So you can very easily now go in and create a new backup vault using a certificate. You can connect your DPM product, System Center Data Protection Manager, or your Windows Server product, for instance, to automatically back up your backups from your server or Data Protection Manager, or just whatever other data you wanna put up there to store information in the cloud. So it's a great service. It's now generally available. We also now have the Hyper-V Recovery Manager in public preview. It used to be that you'd have to apply to a special guest list to be able to add that feature. Now anybody's able to sign up for the preview feature to test this out. And the recovery management feature, I highly recommend you check out one of our previous Ed Show episodes on more information about that. But in short, it's a great way for you to do site-to-site failovers between data centers, restoring those virtual machines. We also have some new enhancements around virtual machines. We have the ability to delete attached disks. Now this one, I really like, because I deploy a lot of stuff into Azure using PowerShell, and I need to quickly clean up whatever was deployed. From the GUI, the way this used to have to work is you had to go in and delete the VM, wait a little bit, go in, delete the disks, and then delete the disks, and make sure you deleted the attached VHD. This is really cool now because you can go in and with a VM, just delete the VM, and the VM, you have the ability as well to delete all of the disks that are associated with that. So a lot easier in the management console now to clean up your virtual machines in one quick, steps to clean up all your virtual machines inside of your environment. Okay. The other thing that you have the ability to do is we have a new warning for those of you in case you didn't know. If you want the SLA of the 395 availability for your virtual machines, you need to have that in an availability set. It means you need to run two virtual machines inside of availability to get the SLA. We do give you a warning now just to say, hey, one of these this VM is not an availability set. You're not protected against the SLA just in case you accidentally didn't set it up that way. SQL Server Always On, a nice little enhancement inside the GUI there, enabling direct server return. This opens up the firewall ports instead of you having to go into PowerShell and configure specific ports for that SQL Always On availability to work. We go down even further here. We have we're continuing to pour more applications into the Active Directory application access enhancements. So as you can see here in this list, there was about 350 apps. Really, this gives anybody the easy way of connecting their identity up to all these third-party software as a service providers, including, as you can see here, ones that aren't even on Microsoft. So for free, we allow you to have a single sign-on portal, that one-click access to Office 365, Box, as you can see here, Evernote, a number of other services that people can automatically sign in and log into. We've added a number of enhancements there with SAML federation capabilities, and again, we're continuing to add new applications to that service. The other thing, one of the other things that is new around the Active Directory space is that we're changing some things with the management console itself a little bit. So as you can see here in Scott Goo's blog here, when you sign into Windows Azure, now every time you log in, we're automatically associating or giving you the ability to associate a login with an Active Directory account, right? So a Windows Azure Active Directory account or database, you can have different accounts inside of there. You can associate those either live IDs or your corporate identities to that Windows Azure Active Directory account, and then that enables you to have more granular access to the Windows Azure Active Directory, to the Windows Azure management portal, right? You could set users up so that only specific users, let's say for instance, have multi-factor authentication to the service. And so this is a pretty big deal as far as enabling that granular management and access into Windows Azure management. So, you know, we're giving you that ability now, and we're automatically, again, assigning that directory to the service. All right, next up, we have even more Windows Azure announcements. I told you there's a lot. We're kind of making up for lost time here with all the new Windows Azure stuff that's released. One of the things we have is this storage enhancement for making it much easier for you to import and export hard disk drives to Windows Azure. So today, you can now go in and choose the import-export option. And of course, if you have, let's say, gigabytes or even terabytes of data you want to upload, you know that can be a pretty painful process, even with a hardy internet connection at your side to try and upload that. Now, of course, Windows Azure does not charge for uploading of your data. You still might want things to be a bit quicker to get that data imported into the service. So now when you click on the import-export, what you do is you create an import job. And from there, what you can do is prepare your hard drive, ship it using FedEx, which is the supported carrier there, and then import that data. And the great thing is that you also would have, the only person that would have access to that encrypted data would be you with the storage encryption keys that you have. So even if that data gets lost during transit, your data is safe and secure, and you are only going to be the ones that have access to key to decrypt it once it's now imported into to Windows Azure service. Next up, there are some additional enhancements around virtual machines with the gallery. One of the things that you'll notice on the left-hand side is that we have a kind of a sub-menu system, right? We've broken that down by Microsoft or other parties, right? Or all, and we also have a search now option there where it makes it a little easier for you to find the various images inside the gallery. The other two things that are really important to point out, and this one hit me recently, is that you'll see the MSDN and the supported checkboxes there on the left. If you are an MSDN subscriber, you are going to have exclusive access to specific images. For instance, the Visual Studio 2013 preview image used to be generally available. And now that it's GA, it's generally available, the product, and we have a GA image of Visual Studio, you're not going to find that one inside the image gallery unless you are an MSDN subscriber. So, you know, checking that box, if you do have an MSDN subscription, will show you the ones which are available via MSDN, which ones aren't, as well as the supported checkbox is really important too. If you want to run a production service, you don't want to run preview, early, alpha, beta software, right, that you're not going to get official support from Microsoft or whatever the third party is on. So checking that box will really help you filter that down. Next up with virtual machines is ACL support for virtual IPs. So with a cloud service, right, you're going to get a virtual IP per that cloud service. And, you know, we announced that you had this ability to enable those ACLs via PowerShell commandlets and the service management API, but now we're enabling that ability via the GUI. It makes it a lot easier to manage those ACLs. So, and this is a big deal, right, for a lot of IT pros or folks that are security concerned, because what you can now do is you can either block or permit only certain IP addresses, right, to that virtual IP inside of your environment. The site will give you a little bit of a details on how that works. For right now, the ACLs are limited to the virtual IP, but it is still really useful if you want, for instance, communication between cloud services or even just that cloud service that you have up there, whether that be a website or VMs or whatever it is. You may want to have only a certain management machine that can connect up to, let's say, RDP into the machines that are in your environment. Last but not least, as far as this specific blog post, is a new billing alert service. A lot of folks out there, of course, they want to have some capability to either get notified or have some more insight into when somebody goes inside your Windows Azure account and starts spinning up a crazy bill, right? If it hits a certain milestone, you want to get notified. Well, we now have that capability where you can add alerts inside of your per subscription to get notified if, you know, a certain amount gets hit. And of course, you do have the capability to also cap people off at a certain limit per subscription as well. But the alerting feature is new for those of you who want to get notified. Next up, we have the Script Center. We did release a new version of the PowerShell commandlets 7.0, which have some new enhancements around Active Directory access, as well as some new things around the Windows Azure Management Pack. But I think what's even bigger than the PowerShell updates is the fact that we now have a script center. This is huge. We have, and I worked a lot with the proc team on this one to get this out, but there was a good chunk of scripts here, as you can see, that enable you to deploy complex or even simple things on Windows Azure using these PowerShell commandlets. So for instance, here you can see common tasks. Deploy a Windows Azure virtual machine with two data disks. You run that script, assuming you've set up the initial steps to connect your subscription to your machine that you're deploying with, it's going to go ahead and do that for you. For instance, there's also other things like, and this one is one that I really worked on. If we go to the Script Center to get all the other suggestions, so there are a ton of predefined scripts, and there's one in particular that I worked on to get uploaded to here, which is deploy a domain controller and a member server using Windows Azure Virtual Machines. So in this one, for instance, it'll automatically go ahead and create a new domain controller for you using a specific domain name that you choose. So in this case, right, we want contoso.com. You could use whatever domain name you want. That will deploy and configure that domain controller, deploy the virtual machine inside of Windows Azure, and then it will also, you know, join it to, of course, a specific VNet, and then add a new member server, a Windows server, join that member server to the domain. Pretty simple, pretty straightforward, all done via just some command line options there. A great, you know, kind of foundational script, for instance, to roll out inside of your environment if you really want to get started scripting and automating a lot of things in your environment. Okay, next up, off of the off of the trend now of Windows Azure, we do have IE 11 is now available for Windows 7 consumers and businesses. IE 11, if you're not familiar, you know, we did do a number of things: 30% faster for real world websites, continuing to improve upon the performance. We also have increased a number of different web application standards for HTML5 and created a new debugger for the developers who want to check those things out. As you can see here, a ton of new enhancements to HTML5 and then just really making things work better. So if you are even an IT shop that's out there, I would definitely consider deploying IE11. Things I know from compatibility can continue to get easier and easier, better and better, less of a concern there, really, since we are all using a standards-based approach with IE now, since IE8, actually. So check that out. Finally, last but not least, the new Microsoft RMS has shipped. And for more details on this, definitely stay tuned here. Really cool stuff. All right, well, I am joined today by Tejas, and I was hoping that you could enlighten us a little bit about Microsoft Rights Management Services.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. So data protection is a big issue within the industry today. So when we take a look at what's happening kind of industry-wide right now, we're seeing a lot of consumerization of IT, yep. Which means along, you know, with using other services, consumer services, you know, between SkyDrive, Box, Dropbox, and a lot of different other data repositories out there. Yeah. That's kind of one part of the issue. So data is just kind of flying everywhere now.
Yep.
The second part is we're seeing a proliferation of devices within the enterprise as well. So I bring my own device to work. What type of device? It's not necessarily controlled by an IT administrator. So then on those devices, I have data kind of blowing up on there as well.
Yeah.
And this kind of the other part along with it is kind of the network perimeter really isn't a good boundary anymore. So you can try ackling everything down. You can try putting, you know, firewalls up there to try to do content analysis. But at the end of the day, your data is made to travel and to be shared or not shared, depending on what you want to do with it. And so really what we're about is protecting the data with the file itself. So no matter where the data goes, the file's always protected.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think that's the in nirvana for the IT guy that's out there. He's like, well, I just want, no matter what people are using, I want those files on any device to be protected and have some control over it. And I know Microsoft's been in this space for a long time, but part of the reason why I wanted to talk with you now is because I know we've got a ton of new stuff in that space.
Right.
So Can you enlighten us and fill us in on what we have going on?
Right. So over the past year and a half, we've kind of reinvigorated our dedication to making rights management more accessible to more people. So there's a couple of things that we're promising to do. One of the main things is I can protect any file type. So traditionally, we've really focused on Office file formats. We haven't really gone out there to other ISVs. So one thing we want to do is to make sure that no matter what type of file it is, you're always able to protect that type of file.
Okay.
The second part is I can consume my protected files on important devices. So if I have an iOS device, whether it's an iPad, you know, using my iPhone, an Android device, we want to be able to make sure that the user isn't dead-ended on trying to open these files. And that's been kind of a concern in the past. So we've really, over the last 6 to 8 months, have been invigorated to adding support for devices. And we'll kind of take a look at that a little bit later.
Yeah.
And the other part is being able to collaborate. So one thing that I mentioned earlier is today in our current or older product, which is ADRMS, still love it, basically a lot of the data was stuck behind the enterprise. But realistically, when you're doing business or trying to share data, you want to be able to share securely with other individuals or other organizations and still maintain control of that content.
Right.
So one of the big things that we're actually doing with our service offering is to make sure that you can collaborate with anyone out there.
That's awesome. That, I know that in the past was a challenge, right?
Yes.
And having to set up federations and all kinds of stuff, but it's like, how do you make that easy? And
absolutely.
Yeah, that's cool.
And one of the things that really helps us along with that is Azure Active Directory, because that essentially helps us to be our kind of our federation hub. And as soon as organizations or individuals have signed up for it, boom, they're able to actually view protected content quite easily now.
That's very cool. So instead of giving you slides and chats, I say we just dig in.
Okay.
And you give me a walkthrough of the user side and the server side of how people kind of get this stuff set up.
Okay. Yeah. So one of the key goals of our service that we wanted to do is make it really easy, just dead end simple, for people to be able to actually go through and configure the service, right?
Yeah.
So one of the first things that we'll do is just kind of go through the flow of actually configuring the service. Now, a couple of things to note. So one is we're offered through Office 365 right now. Obviously, we're part of the Azure group, but really when, you know, a lot of people have heard our name in the past, it's always been, you know, Active Directory Rights Management, Azure Active Directory, but just call us Rights Management. That's our name now.
Yep.
We
work across
easier.
A lot of different services now, and so it's not tied to any one thing specifically.
Exactly. So what I'm going to do first is to go ahead and to log into the Office 365 portal. So let me go back here. So I've gone ahead and created essentially my own organization here. I'll go ahead and sign in. Now I'm logged in as an administrator.
Right.
So from here, really, it's very easy. So you just go to Service Settings. You go to Rights Management. And then you click on Manage. And while that's going ahead, I've gone ahead and created in the background.
Yep.
But really, to enable rights management across all of your Office 365 applications and services. Basically, it's as simple as enabling activating or deactivating now.
Okay.
So it's really just one button will enable information protection within your organization.
Okay. Now that obviously kind of lights up the platform, but you're not protecting anything yet.
So, not yet.
Yeah.
So we'll get to the users in just a moment.
Okay.
But at this point, basically, if a user does choose to say file protect, basically, all of a sudden, they'll be able to protect their content.
Okay.
So that's kind of the beginning. Now, from there, we also offer integration with SharePoint Online and Exchange Online.
Okay.
So from there, what I'll do is go over to the SharePoint site and really show you kind of how to configure it. And literally, this takes like 2 minutes. We'll go through the whole thing here. And from here, what you want to be able to do is to enable IRM across your service. So what you want to do is just select this button right here, refresh IRM settings, click OK, and boom. So now any of your document libraries within SharePoint Online can have IRM applied to it.
Okay. And now I'm assuming you need some kind of templates or something that are there, or is there some that are already predefined?
So SharePoint Online offers the capabilities to define groups, so it's a little bit more flexible.
Okay.
So for instance, if you have a distribution group or a security group that you'd want to use, you can actually just specify the distribution group as to say, hey, this is my work team. or my work group essentially, define the people in your work group within Azure Active Directory, and just select that work group on the document library itself. So now I'm going to actually show you how to enable IRM integration on a SharePoint document library. Okay. So we're just going to select the document library here and navigate to it. And then we'll go to Documents, and then we'll go to the library. And once we're in the library, we just really need, need to go to the library settings. And now you'll see an option for information rights management below there.
Okay.
Once we click on that, what's going to happen is it's going to give us the capability to set a permission title. So what we'll say is we'll just call this my work group. So we'll check that box. My work group. And now what we can do is add a permission policy description. This is to share. This is.
So just to share the data within the work group. So then you click OK to this, and then what it applies permissions only to that group that you have that has access to the documents. So, so then somebody downloads those documents. You click OK. Now all the documents automatically get protected. So if somebody downloads that doc to wherever it's at, now it's protected only to those users that are in that group.
So whoever has access to the document library will be able to then download it. And upon download, that's when the rights protection gets applied to the document itself. And at that point, no matter where they go, the actual document itself has a persistent protection on it.
That's very cool, Okay. What options do you have listed there?
So there are several options below here. So there's additional options to basically not allow users to upload documents that don't support IRM, because then we just want to make sure those don't get in, kind of pollute the document library itself. But the more important one, one that we've heard a lot of feedback on, is basically how can I allow an IT administrator to just set the group they want to actually protect the document to. So a lot of times, work groups might be a little bit too granular. So what they want is either a broader set of folks to be able to kind of work on that information and kind of share it between document libraries or between different individuals. So what now, what they have now within SharePoint Online is the capability to actually specify a group.
So now that's name or email address. You could have your groups that you have that are in Active Directory or in SharePoint, or even like external email addresses would work.
So they
support
the
super easy. Super easy for an admin guy then.
So there's a lot of flexibility. Now we just went through the UI. There's actually a PowerShell PowerShell administration tools for SharePoint that'll enable you to
for the IT guy who loves the PowerShell. That's goodness, right? They can get in there and get extremely granular and script the configuration of the libraries. Good to know. Okay, so far we've got the enabled it all across the board on the Office 365 platform. We've now configured a specific document library to have protection for the documents in there. Now what? Now what's the next step?
So now, as you mentioned before, you can actually download the documents from there. So I haven't created any on here, because one thing I really want to show next is our sharing application. So our sharing application is a new app that we're releasing that basically enables people to share protected. And to share, being able to share protected enables folks within an organization or outside an organization to be able to both protect and consume protected content. So let me walk you through the experience here. So what I'll go ahead and do is just create a simple notepad file here. All right, so I'm going to say this is very, if I can type, confidential information.
It's our favorite editor, right? Notepad.
And really what I wanted to show is, you know, we do have the capability now to protect any file. So now what I'll go ahead and do is do file, save as. Secret, right? Call it the secret text file.
The secret text file. That's right. It's uber, uber secret with that text in there, confidential.
And then from there, what I'll have is a capability now, once you've installed the application. I'll show you how to get to the installed application in just a few moments. But you'll have two things here. One is protect in place. The other is the capability to share protected. So now what I'll go ahead and do is select share protected. So before, when you're just trying to share outside of your organization or really try to figure out kind of the permissioning level of what you want to be able to have people to do, it was very difficult. It was kind of the old ACL dialog box. So to users, it was like, well, what do I want them to do? So what we've done is this kind of introduce a little easy slider with kind of four levels of permissions to it. So, you know, viewer, kind of read only, reviewer gives me edit permissions, co-author, I have a little bit more access to it, and co-owner.
So simple for people to understand. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. So instead of kind of that ACLI, set these combinations and hope someone can open it, trying to make it really easy here. And then from there, we've introduced additional controls over the file. So the next one is pretty important, is the users must log in every time they open it. So what that essentially does is forces a person to get reauthorization before they open the file again. And then the other last one is basically having a way to expire content. So if after a certain day you've selected this box, you know, you won't be able to access the content. So it's a very powerful tool to be able to manage your content.
Yeah, that makes sense. So this, though, is set on an individual user basis, right?
Correct.
So if an IT guy is like, well, wait, whoa, I want to know what's going on here.
Right.
what is the options at that point?
So at that point, you can actually specify groups within here. So you can say specify a group of individuals. There's also an option within the org, if you do your protect in place, to select templates.
Okay.
So you can actually protect content to templates that your IT administrator has defined within your organization.
Okay.
This is more about sharing outside of the organization.
Right.
So to make it really easy, because typically for most individuals, it's like, well, I know their email address, but I don't know much other data. So it's just a quick way to them started on there.
Yeah, it makes sense. And I guess, you know, from an IT guy's perspective, if you want to have some visibility into them sharing outside of the organization, that's where you check your... You have your email or your multiple mechanisms in place to kind of have that
that
visibility, right?
Actually, yes, and that brings up a great point. So one of the new features that we're also introducing to our service is the capability to log all the transactions when someone's actually trying to access protected content.
Okay.
So with that, it kind of provides a great way to do forensic analysis, a great way to kind of understand the patterns of how your users are actually sharing protected content of outside of your organization, yes.
Okay, and is that all done where at? Where is that done at inside of?
Okay, so the first step is you'll go to our portal. We'll have kind of a blog there. And basically what you're going to be able to do is now subscribe to an Azure storage account.
Okay.
Once you've configured that storage account, basically what we'll do is for all the transactions against your organization that happen, we'll pipe down all of those transactions to that log.
To the Windows Azure storage account.
Yes.
Cool. Very cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good stuff. All right. So I know we kind of took us off path
here. That's
a
great point.
That took us off path here, but it was very related to this whole, you know, as an IT guy, you know, I'm like, oh, whoa, wait, this is cool, but wait, are they going to do that they don't want to do?
And that's
helpful to know that's there.
Absolutely.
So let's say that we've got this capability now, we've shared this out, right?
Yes. So
and
we'll
if you want to go ahead and just share it to somebody here.
And I have another. So I'm logged in. Let me go ahead and Microsoft.com. All right. Okay. Click send. What this is going to do is just create a new mail message with the file attached within it already.
Okay.
And basically, there's a couple of things I wanted to note here. And we'll see it kind of on the backside, but we'll show it actually on a device. But the first thing is, basically, there's a couple of things that we'll go through here. So one is, we are also introducing an individual offer for rights management. So currently, our system relies on having an Azure Active Directory identity. So of course, that's used with Office 365. It's also used with Windows Azure. Maybe the organization you're sharing with still hasn't gone there yet.
Right.
So what we're going to do is provide an easy way for a user to sign up so they can actually get an Azure Active Directory account that they can use to authenticate against the system.
Cool.
So
that way you have visibility and you don't have to have the other person go through all kinds of hoops. That
exactly.
Makes sense. Okay.
Exactly. So, you know, more and more, it's just kind of an easy federation.
Yeah.
It all just works.
Okay.
And second, and I'll show this in just a moment, is basically you can get our sharing application. So we have downloads of it, and we'll talk about kind of which devices we support in just a moment.
Okay. Sure, yeah.
All right. So I'll go ahead and click send here. And while we're waiting for it to get over here, what I'll go ahead and show you is where we are at. So this is the page I was mentioning before. So basically, this page right here is actually, you know, the way to actually download the application. So we'll have a link to it.
Yeah, that's which is in that email or whatever. If
exactly.
somebody sends you content, they're like, what is this? I click on the link, you get this page.
Bingo.
Oh, okay. I see what's going on. All
exactly. Right. And then the other part of that as well is being able to sign up. So what I'll do is now, you know, I'm going to go through and say I am pages at contoso.com. Get started. And so this is kind of, you know, for everyone out there that's an IT administrator, if you want to give it a try, try with any address at contoso.com if you don't actually want to create an account, so you can kind of see our sign up flow.
Okay, yeah.
And then what I can do is just do this. Of course, we want you to really sign up.
So somebody types in their name, so they're identifying themselves with the Windows Azure Active Directory backend. Okay.
Yeah.
Click
and
create.
Just create.
And at that point, that what then goes and creates an identity inside of Windows Azure Active Directory?
Bingo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, wow.
So at that point, so there's a couple of emails that you'll get as a part of the flow that we didn't show here.
To kind of confirm, like you
yeah,
have
we
that
have
email
to verify,
address.
Yeah, we have to verify your identity.
Yep.
And basically, if you already have an Office 365 subscription, we'll enable you to add RMS, this individual subscription, to your Office 365 subscription as an individual.
Okay. Okay,
yes.
So then they get that confirmation email to their inbox to say, okay, I see that you've signed up here. We know that you're there. Now you would need to then download the app to decrypt it securely.
Bingo.
Right?
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, cool.
So what we'll do is...
So it looks like we support we've got a Windows app, an Apple app. Is that for Mac?
So yes, we're going to have plenty of support for devices. So we're going to be supporting iOS, Android, Windows Phone 8, and of course, Windows Classic. Later point down the future, we'll also support Mac OS X.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So really a lot of options there. That's pretty cool. So now let's see what it is. You've got a
to back up
the Kleros platform support here. We've got the iPad Mini. So
yeah,
this you've sent an email
to
yourself who owns this device, right?
Correct.
And what does that look like here?
So now that message I sent from my account has arrived to this individual, ironically with the same name. From there, what I'm going to go ahead and do is click on the attachment. I'll then go ahead and select to open in our application. And in just a few seconds, here's the actual content itself. So this is very confidential information about the project. So this is the actual secret file. It'll then give an indicator to the privileges or the rights that the user has on the right-hand side. So in this particular case, when I created it, I provided view and edit rights to this individual. So now they're able to view the content. And basically what happened in the background is using the identity that they've created or have in Azure Active Directory, they authenticated against our service. We then did a lookup to verify that the user actually does have permissions to the content, and then basically provided a decryption key to the user.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very, very cool stuff.
Yeah.
This is pretty powerful. And so maybe now we can switch to understand that part you just mentioned there, which is, hey, we have Windows Azure Active Directory, and it has the user account in there. So me being the IT guy, right, I mean, we're thinking, well, gosh, what integrations there? How does this all work? Is it secure? Is it safe? I'm sure we've thought of these things.
Right.
But being the IT geek guy, can you enlighten us a little bit on what's going on under the hood here?
Sure. So essentially, when you first subscribe to Office 365, we go ahead and provision a set of keys for the actual organization. From that, what ends up happening is, let's just say the user clicks on the file share protected button. At that particular point, what ends up happening is they contact the service. We look at their identity to ensure they're actually who they say they are. And then what we do is go through a process of activation. Activation is just a quick way to bootstrap a user to make sure they have the capability to consume content, but also publish content, which is really step two. So when you're publishing content, basically you're getting a public key of the server, essentially. And now you have this other item or artifact on there, which is known as the rights account certificate or the RAC. And basically the combination of both enables a author, the person protecting the content, to be able to say who's actually able to view the file and actually encrypt that data back to the server key again, or the service key again. So that's kind of the first part. Then the author actually shares the content with the recipient.
Mm-hmm. Step three here in the diagram that you have
exactly.
up there. Yep. Okay.
Yep. Now, after the user shares the file, basically now the recipient is going to take the small artifact of the document, right? So when we're actually using rights management, the service never sees the content, okay? We only see a small portion that we've added to the document that defines the rights that the individual has. So when you're using our service, and this is really an important point, we never see the data. The only thing we know about is, okay, this user is trying to access this particular content, but we never see the content on the service. And so what we do with that small piece of data, which is known as a publishing license, is we go ahead and do our authorization task on it. And to do our authorization, we then contact Azure Active Directory to make sure that the user is a legitimate user, that we're able to identify it in the directory. And then what we do is we release a key back to that recipient so they can then unlock their document locally on their system.
Okay, and when you mentioned that you can't see the document and all, that's assuming you use the share my own file method. As opposed to like if it was on SharePoint or if it was just a file maybe you attached unencrypted or something like that in Exchange, then it would be different.
Right. Yeah. Now, for SharePoint Online and Exchange Online, that's true.
Okay.
However, we also support on-premise server applications. So we support SharePoint on-premises. We support Exchange on-premises. Using a new feature that we're introduced called the connector.
Okay.
So basically in that case, if you do decide to use RMS as a service, basically at that point, we don't even see the data because your data is all on premises at that point.
Okay, that makes sense. And I noticed that you have kind of the Active Directory and RMS service there. So is it limited only to, let's say, SharePoint and Exchange and our Office 365 services, or can anybody like create a Windows Azure Active Directory account and enable rights management services on it?
Okay, so that's a great question. Yeah. So right now, these are kind of the applications in market that have integrated with us. As a part of this release, we've also introduced 7 SDKs that'll enable other software vendors or even for line of business applications to be able to integrate with us.
Okay.
So that'll provide kind of a really powerful mechanism for anyone to be able to utilize our capabilities.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know, you know, just, you know, if you want to create your own Windows Azure Active Directory, that's pretty easy in Azure. You go into the console, go to the directory services, create a new Azure Active Directory instance, and you're kind of, you're lit up there. All right, wow, this is really cool stuff and really powerful, I could see, for a lot of users. Where would you recommend people go to kind of dig in more?
Absolutely. So there's two places. So one is email us at askipteam@microsoft.com. And the second place is blogs.technet.com/RMS. And you'll be up to date.
Cool. All right, thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for tuning in to this Edge Show episode. If you would like to know more or request specific pieces of interviews, for instance, certain things you'd like to hear from us, feel free to email us, edge@microsoft.com, tweet us, @TNEdge, like our Facebook page, or definitely download our Edge app for Windows 8. Check us out so you can watch all those episodes on your Windows 8 device. Until next time, take it easy.